Miss for our children's church. If you will follow Miss Virginia and Miss Deborah. You're Karen, Miss Karen today. Those of you who are staying, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Book of Luke. Also turn your phones on and check in. Let everybody know that you are worshiping our Lord and Savior this morning at Chevis Oaks. Are you happy to be here this morning? Amen. It's been kind of a gloomy past 2 days, but we're here in the house of the Lord to celebrate. Amen. Amen?
Amen?
All right. I'm glad y'all are enthusiastic this morning. Last week, as we continued our Christmas sermon, The Wonder of Christmas, we learned that Jesus came to the right place. We took an aerial look or an aerial view at what Bethlehem looked like in those days, and that day was mostly surrounding towns. In these surrounding towns would have been a better suited place for the Savior of the world to come, but he didn't. He came to Bethlehem. We looked at Bethlehem from a historical perspective and learned that Bethlehem had a rich Jewish history, but they knew very little about the history in that time, and it wasn't really seen. And we looked at Bethlehem from a marketing standpoint, a business marketing standpoint, knowing that the Messiah was prophesied to be born there, and it should have been a metropolis. It should have been the largest city in the area. But it was nothing more than a bump in the road, what we would call a one-stop light town. Now, with all of that knowledge, we did conclude that Jesus was born in the right location. Now, today, we're going to see that God chose the right couple to be the parents of the Lord. So let's look at Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the town called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for if you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be since I have not been intimate with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One will be called the Son of God." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And God, we thank you again for allowing us to be in your house. Lord, we pray that you would be with those who want to be here, Lord, but can't be here, who are homesick. We pray that you would just be with them and touch them and help them to get better and back on their feet and back to the house of God where they want to be. But Lord, those of you who have assembled here this morning, those of you who have turned into our broadcast on the internet, Lord, we pray that you would bless us. You'd open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Lord, help us right now to feel your Holy Spirit. But Lord, as we go through this message, Lord, help us to see this message, to understand this message, to see how this message applies to our life, God, because all scriptural is applicable to us. Help us, Lord, that we might feel a stronger presence with you this morning because we've come to hear a word from you. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said,
amen.
Amen. Church, this morning I want us to see that Mary and Joseph were the perfect couple. They were the perfect couple. Some of y'all are saying, "Well, Brother Kyle, that's kind of obvious. They were his parents," but it's more than that. Now, we know them best, Mary and Joseph. You know, who, as we look at who these people are, we know these people best as the parents of Jesus. Anytime somebody puts those two words together, Mary and Joseph, that's the first thing that pops in our mind. Well, they were the parents, earthly parents of Jesus. This accolade has given them prominence throughout history just because they were the parents of the Messiah. Mary is worshipped in the Catholic religion, is considered to be the receiver and then deliverer of the prayers, of all the prayers to her son, Jesus Christ. Scripture nor Christ ever gives Mary any special spiritual or heavenly duties. As a matter of fact, Jesus is known to call her what, Wednesday night class? What did Jesus call her? Woman. Woman. Now, husbands, I don't think y'all need to go home and do this. I Ricky Tyre, I tried it one time. Yeah, Amy was downstairs and I said, "Hey, woman." Brother Frankie didn't go over real well. David, you must have tried it. Look at David over there laughing. This is what Jesus called her, and in that respect, he called her woman. He didn't give her any special privileges. He called her this at least two occasions in Scripture as to show the readers that she held no special place of privilege. Joseph was given the task of being the father figure to Jesus. But he was of no blood relation to Jesus. Mary and Joseph were Jesus' earthly parents. This is an easy first assessment of this couple to receive. But church, nothing special. There's nothing special. There's nothing special about them. There's no special duties that God gave them. The angels, when they visited them, that they weren't given any special duties when they were given this assignment. There were no special gifts given by God for this special assignment. There were no special abilities given for this special assignment. You would think that as God sent the angel, that he would give them some sort of special ability to deal with the Son of God. But he didn't. Nothing extraordinary, nothing special whatsoever at all. As we look at Mary, we know very little of what Mary did in her day-to-day life. We assume that, like most of other women in that day, that she was a domestic goddess, right? That's the way you say it nowadays. She was a domestic goddess or a housewife. She took care of the day-to-day needs of the house and the family. We know from Matthew chapter 13 that Mary had five sons, including Jesus, and at least two daughters, okay? Because it said her daughters, plural. So she had five sons, that's a big family, seven. I know what it was like with three children in the house, and my wife was a domestic goddess for nine years, and I dare not say anything. I mean, she worked just as hard as I did, sometimes harder. Now, we see Mary throughout the life of Christ in each of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. She is seen as a nurturing mother, a lover of her family, a seeker of her son Jesus when he was away from home. We see her as a grieved and broken mother when Jesus was crucified at Calvary. Just skimming over what we know of Scripture, Mary was a devout Jewish woman, but nothing really extraordinary stood out about her. Nothing really extraordinary. We see other extraordinary acts of other women in the Gospels, but none like Mary. We don't see her anointing Jesus' head or his feet, or we don't see anything just over the top spiritually with Mary. She was just an ordinary woman. Now, we know even less about the man who was given the charge of being the earthly father of Jesus. We know that Joseph was a what? He was a carpenter. And we only know this from one verse in Scripture, again, seen in Matthew chapter 13. When Jesus started teaching in his hometown, some of the legalistic people there said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son?" Y'all remember seeing that in Matthew 13, right? Now, many scholars believe that Joseph had died sometime between the time when Jesus stayed in the temple, when he, you know, seemed to be, you know, off on his own, and he was on his own, the time that Jesus stayed in the temple on his own when he was 12 years old, and the time when Jesus started his earthly ministry. Joseph died somewhere. Some scholars believe that. He is just not seen in Scripture after Jesus was found in the temple by himself at the age of 12. It could be argued, though, that Joseph was still alive as at the start of Jesus' ministry, because Jesus is called the son of the carpenter. That's present tense. Isn't he the son of the carpenter in Matthew 13 and not the son of the late or deceased carpenter? But church, here again, we just don't know a lot about Joseph. Church, as we skim Scripture, we see nothing extraordinary about Joseph. Why? Why were he and Mary the right couple of the parent to be the parent of the Son of God? Now, you would think, Billy, you would think that, I mean, this is an extraordinary couple, and they have to be, right? They have to be chosen, but, I mean, there's nothing scripturally that just puts them over the top. Now, I mean, there have been times where I've been asked. I remember years ago I was on a pulpit committee. And, you know, we had this vast array of resumes that came in to be the pastor of to be the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Rock Hill, South Carolina. We were a up-and-coming church. We were a church that was thriving, on fire for the Lord. We were, you know, people were coming and getting saved. I mean, it was a dynamic church. So, of course, when the vacancy of pastor came up, we got hundreds of resumes. And we had to skim through them, and we had to look over each one. We were all each assigned a certain portion of resumes, and to come back and to give our assessment of those that we looked over. And some of them were not that great at all. As God looked over heaven and he looked at all the couples in the world, through Scripture, we don't see that there was anything extraordinary about them. But church, God chose them. There had to be. There had to be something. There had to be something that was just over the top, that just, you know, had God pull them out, all the resumes, pulled them out and set them to the side as the number one candidate, right? There had to be. So why were they the parents of Jesus? Excuse me. The easy answer to this question is a very short and very logical. You ready for the answer? Y'all ready? Because I know y'all sat at home and pondered, why? Why were they the perfect couple? Right? No, y'all hadn't. So here's the answer. They were the perfect parents because God said so. God said so. Did y'all ever hear that when you were growing up? You'd ask your parents a question, and you knew that you had asked the wrong question when your parents did this right here. And they didn't have an answer, Ricky, other than, I said so, right? So that's the easy answer. Now, let me be the very first to tell you that there have been times in my life when someone who was announced or has announced that they're going to be coming to be present, going to be parents, and my very first thought that came through my mind is, you have no business bringing a baby into this world. Any of y'all ever done that? Somebody has announced on social media, or you've been around, and they say, oh, hey, look, guess what? I'm pregnant. And you're thinking, oh, Lord. Y'all been there too? Now, you think to yourself about this person, you still act like a child yourself. I've known people who've had terrible addictions that become pregnant, and I've thought, good night, God, why are you allowing this? Y'all ever done that? Yeah, me too. I also know wonderful people. Amy and I have some friends right now. Amy does, really. Wonderful people who are tremendous Christians who want a child but have never been able to have children. And I've asked why, Lord, and prayed that he would, you know, give them a second thought or a second look or a second glance and bless them with a child. Church, we need to understand here that God knows best. We do. We need to remember that God knows best. Children teach us something. They teach us who we really are, what it is that we really think is important, even if the parents of the child never learn these lessons. We as lookers on watch and learn. Have y'all ever seen a parent and you said, oh my gosh, there's no way. They're not going to be able to do this. And you've watched them from the outside, and they might blow it. But you learn lessons yourself by watching these parents blow it. Do we always agree with God's decisions concerning children? No. No. We've got friends in Kentucky, and she works in the foster care system, and she sees things that rattles her cage every single day. Donna worked with this, the same system for a long time. Donna, I'm sure that you could tell us stories that just rattled your cage, could you not? Dealing with the welfare of children and families. It's unbelievable. But God could care less what we think about Him and His decisions. He knows what is best for all of us. Poor, meek, and mild Joseph and Mary. They were poor. They were very poor. Poor, meek, and mild Joseph and Mary. They were the parents of Jesus because God said so. God said so. If we would have pulled a committee together and we had heard, Bruce, that Jesus, the Son of God, was coming to the earth, we would have chosen somebody probably much different, wouldn't we? We would have had somebody that could have provided. We probably would have gone straight to the inn and said, okay, we want to get somebody who's inside, who can stay inside, to be the parents of Jesus, right? We would have picked somebody different. But God didn't. We could learn a whole lot from God this morning. God chooses parents for a reason. He does. We might not agree with it. We might not understand it, but it's not for us to understand. It's for God to understand and for God's benefit and for God's glory. Verse 28 gives us another reason why Mary and Joseph were the perfect couple to be the parents of the Christ child. Look at verse 28. Verse 28 says this, and the angel came to her and said, rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Rejoice, favored woman, for the Lord is with you. Did you see that there? Our scripture tells us that Mary was what? Favored. She was favored. Not only was she favored, but the scripture tells us that the angel said, God is present. Present tense. God is with you. Notice that our scripture does not say God is going to be with you. It says that God is with you. Now, how did she get this favor and this presence in her life? Here again, scripture does not tell us, but we can calculate that Mary and Joseph were not perfect. Has there ever been anybody perfect that's lived on this earth other than Jesus? Absolutely not. Not even Vicki Benson. I mean, everybody, we have our failings, do we not? None of us are perfect. But they fully trusted God. They practiced their faith. They walked their faith. No one had to question who they belonged to. Now, how do we find favor? How do we find favor with another person? Well, we're loyal to that person, and we treat them with the utmost importance and respect. I believe this couple, Mary and Joseph, chose to live for God, and it was evident in their lives for all the world to see. Church, out of all of the couples in the world, they were chosen. Have you ever thought about that? Kim, out of all the couples in the world in that day, Mary and Joseph were chosen. That's pretty special, isn't it? It really is. I myself find it hard to believe. I wouldn't have chosen me to be a preacher. I wouldn't have. Some of y'all are saying, amen. I wouldn't either, brother. Brother Gary, I wouldn't have chosen me to be a preacher. As I look back at my life and where I was and where my devotion was and where my prayer life was and my script, I wouldn't have chosen me. Stanley, I wouldn't have chosen me. I'd have been on the back burner. But God chose me. And I've told y'all, I have a real hard time writing R-E-V in front of K-Y-L-E. I do. I don't feel like I'm worthy. And God says, you're not worthy. You're called. Mary and Joseph were called for this very special and specific task. Whereas there's hundreds, thousands, millions of preachers, some of them self-proclaimed, amen. I feel special, but I don't feel worthy. Can you imagine out of all the couples in the world, they were called for a very specific task? Just one couple, not hundreds or thousands, just one couple. Can you imagine how they felt? They probably felt just like I do. I don't feel worthy. Well, God says you're not worthy, but you're called to a very specific task. Now, excuse me, church. They were also the perfect parents for one other reason. Look at verse 30. Now, I want y'all to pay attention, see if you can listen to a word. I kind of emphasized it last when I read it the last time. But there's a word that's just often used in this scripture. Listen to it. Verse 30 says this. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will," y'all underline those. It's amazing. "You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will call his name Jesus. You will be great and will be called, and he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Did y'all see the word? What was it? Will, that's my son-in-law's name, but it has nothing to do with him, okay? Did you notice that the word will was used 10 times in just 5 verses? Church, Mary and Joseph were the perfect parents because they had no other choice. They had no other choice. Now, please listen to me as I hammer home on this last point. Ricky, they didn't have any other choice. None. None. God chose them, and they were not getting out of it. Can I tell you that the choice of not being a parent when a person becomes pregnant should not be a choice? Did you hear me? When a person becomes a parent is when the baby is in the mother's womb. The baby is conceived. They should not have the ability to become unpregnant or unapparent. They should not. Church, if a woman becomes pregnant, there is a reason, and God chose them for that very reason. Somebody said years ago, they got mad and they shook their hand up at God and said, "God, why don't you find a cure for cancer?" He said, "I did, and you aborted them." Church, every child has a purpose. Every child has a reason. Well, Brother Kyle, we have to consider that a child might do to the mental state of the woman first. Really? Really? Let's read verse 29 again. Verse 29 says this, "But she was deeply troubled." Right? Look at verse 34. Verse 34 says, "Mary asked the angel, 'How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?'" She was deeply troubled. Her mental state was not there. Listen, there would be some huge complications for Mary to be pregnant before she had known a man. But not like today when people have children before marriage. There were deep consequences for Mary. the Jews didn't believe in this. They would stone you. That means kill you. They were thrown out of the church, thrown out of the temple, thrown out of the total religious faith of the Jews. This was not heard of. It was not happening. But here she is. Here she is. She's found pregnant before she's known to be intimate with a man. Well, how in the world would they all know? Listen, it was very known in that time when a woman became intimate with a man. It was the father's birthright to have this knowledge. The father knew whether she'd been intimate with a man or not. And it kept her life safe. But God chose this dangerous way to bring his son into the world. God chose. They were the perfect parents, church, because it was God's will. Now, what can we learn from this message today? Church, if you have children, God chose you just like he chose Mary and Joseph. Y'all ever thought about that? If you have children, and you're thinking, oh, Lord God, what have I gotten myself into? I'm going to be honest with you. I was one of those people. I told my wife, I put my foot down, Mr. Crawford. I said, listen, after Kyle Jr. was born and we had him for 6-8 months, I was like, we're done. Done. We're done. And Amy says, no, let's have one more. I said, woman, we ain't having no more children. And I learned we don't have much control over that. Right? When we have children, God's given us those children for a reason. It doesn't matter how crazy they are, how rebellious they are, how hard-hearted they are. Your children are your children because God chose you to be their parents, even if they don't smile. Right, Melissa? Right? They're our children. He gave them to us. To love them no matter what, to guide them no matter what, to pray for them, to cry for them, to grieve for them. In the midnight hour, he chose us to grieve over our children and to love them. Church, God does not make mistakes with his choices. The question I have for you this morning is this: do you trust his choices? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message. We thank you for how much you love us, Lord. Oh God, what this world would look like if we would just love you half as much as you love us. Lord, help us to feel your presence, to know you're near. God, I don't know who needed this message this morning, but I know you put it on my heart for a reason. I don't know what struggles parents are having with their children right now, Lord, but you do. God, I pray that you would be with us as parents and help us to realize that you chose us just like you chose Mary and Joseph. Help us to be what you created us to be for your glory. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come down to the altar this morning and just spend some time with the Lord? Will you come?